So anyway, so let's talk a little bit about the central mitzvah of Pesach. The central mitzvah of Pesach is a mitzvah that is called Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is a mitzvah in the Torah to talk about the Exodus of Egypt. And this is an annual mitzvah. It's only one night a year. And Galus two nights, but it's one night a year, the night that we were redeemed. Makas, the night of Makas Bechoros. And the source of this pasuk, the source of this mitzvah is the pasuk, "Vigadata levincha v'yomahu lemar," you shall tell your child on that day. Again, that's how you get the word Haggadah, because "Vigadata levincha v'yomahu lemar." Now, the next few words, which are quoted in the Haggadah, it's interesting how you translate them. "Bavor ze asa Hashem li." Bitseisim in Mitzrayim. Ba'avor zeh asa Hashem li bitseisim in Mitzrayim.
Which verse is that in Chumash?
This is in, it's either in do you have a Chumash? It should be in Parshas Bo. Let me just check. Should be the end of Parshas Bo. Yeah, this is in Perek Yud Gimel, Shmos Yud Gimel, Pasuk Ches. Page 362 in the Chumash. This is the pivotal pasuk. This is the source of the mitzvah of Haggadah. V'igadata levincha b'yomahu lemor. And even though it says on that day, we actually darshan that it means at night. We'll see how we know that. And then it says, b'avor zeh, because of this, asa Hashem li, God did for me, Bitseisim in Mitzrayim, when I was taken out of Egypt. So what does because of this mean? So there's actually a machlokas among the commentaries, among the Mephorshim, how do you even punctuate this pasuk, and therefore what it means. According to some interpretations, and I think that's how the that's how the art scroll translates it, although it doesn't punctuate it this way. Bavor zeh means because of this, comma, God took me out of Egypt, and the this refers to the mitzvos of Korban Pesach, Matzah, and Mora, meaning Hashem took me out of Egypt in order that I should do the mitzvos. Bavor zeh, because of what the types of things I'm doing, is why Hashem took me out of Egypt. Now, that is clearly how the Haggadah understands this pasuk, because if you look at the Haggadah, you will see that that's how the Haggadah proves that the mitzvah of Sipur is at night rather than the daytime, because the chayre is because like this. Since zeh connotes you're pointing to something, and the most logical antecedent is you're pointing to the Korban Pesach, the Matzah, and the Morah, and that was eaten only at night, that is how we know the Haggadah is at night. Otherwise, I would have said the Haggadah is in the daytime. So according to that, it's as if there's a comma after zeh. Because of this, the commandments, Hashem took me out of Egypt. There is, however, another interpretation that this is essentially a run-on phrase, meaning to say, I am celebrating Pesach because of this, that God took me out of Egypt, meaning there's no comma there. Bavor zeh asa doesn't mean because of this, comma, God took me out of Egypt, but it's an incomplete phrase. Because of the fact that God took me out of Egypt, and then elliptically, this is why we're sitting here. So according to that, we're not explaining why God took us out of Egypt. We're just saying we're making a Seder because Hashem took us out of Egypt. There's a machlokes how to interpret that. By the way, the other thing that's important is that since this is directed to people who are going to be, in other words, the whole context of the pasuk is when you come to Eretz Yisrael and your children ask you, what are you doing? So you respond because of what God did for me when he took me out of Egypt. Now, l'chaira, the people who entered Eretz Yisrael were not the people who left Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. It was a new generation. So here the Haggadah has another drasha. This is how we know. See, this pasuk is used in several places in the Haggadah. This is how we know each person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of the tribe. See, people don't get the full drasha. You read the Haggadah, Rava, it's a statement of Rava, it's really in the Gemara. Each person must regard himself as if they were taken out of Mitzrayim. As it is written, you shall tell your child because of what God did for me when I was taken out of Mitzrayim. So most people just think that Russia is, that since you say because of what God did for me, that implied you yourself were taken out. But there's more of a hechrus here, because since the people who are speaking are the new generation who entered Eretz Yisrael, and they by definition didn't experience the Exodus, how can they possibly say, because of what Hashem did for me? The answer is, each person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim, right? So this pasuk has a lot of important halachas. Number one, it is the source of the mitzvah of Haggadah. This makes it a doraisa. Number two, it gives me the time of the mitzvah, because since it says, because of this, the matzah and the maror, Hashem took me out, that tells me it's at night rather than the daytime, even though it starts off by Yom Ha'u. And finally, this is the source of the idea that each person must regard himself as if they were taken out of the land of Egypt because of Avor Zasah Hashem Li, not because of what Hashem did for my forefathers, but because of what Hashem did for me. By the way, in addition, since the Torah does write four times that you have to recount the Exodus, that's how you know the four sons. So this is the pasuk that we use for the child who doesn't know how to ask, because this is the only one of the four times in which it is not prefaced by a question that your child will ask you. And that's how we know that even if you're not asked a question, you must initiate the discourse. Right? So it's all from this pasuk. This pasuk is quoted several times. Now, sometimes it's only a fragment, so you wouldn't automatically know, but this pasuk or fragments of this pasuk are quoted several times in the Haggadah for different purposes. Want to say?
Given all of that, why does the verse say it is because of this that Hashem acted on my behalf when I left Egypt, as opposed to when we left Egypt, or even when you left Egypt?
Yeah, us. So here's another thing. Okay, here's another thing. Yeah, this is a little complicated. And thank you for reminding me of this. I slipped my mind for a moment. This pasuk is actually used twice. It is used as the response to the child who doesn't even ask the question, but it's also used as the answer to the Rasha. The Rasha's question appears elsewhere. In fact, let's go over that a little bit. If you remember, the Haggadah points out there are four verses in the Torah that talk about recounting the Exodus. And why are there four verses? So the Gemara, the Haggadah, it's actually the Gemara too, darshans that this refers to the four different types of people that you must recount the story to. One type is called the Chacham, the wise son, which actually means a more righteous son with intelligence. The other is the Rasha, the one who doesn't care, the hostile son. The third is the Tam, which is the simple. It doesn't mean he's mentally retarded or something. I mean, Yaakov Avinu is called simple, but it means the one who has faith. He doesn't need deep intellectual analysis, but he wants to know the basic story. And the Eino De'Elishael, which doesn't mean a one-year-old baby, but it actually means somebody who's so apathetic. In fact, the way it works is this. The Chacham is the child or the person who comes to Hashem through analytical wisdom. We would call him the Gemara cup. Right? He's like, he really wants to know detail and analysis. The Tam is the one who comes to Hashem by emotion, essentially, pure faith. He doesn't need intellectualism. The Rasha represents hostility, and the Einu De'Elishael represents apathy. So the two positives are wisdom and feeling, and the two negatives are hostility and apathy. So the Einu De'Elishael is not some helpless kid. It's somebody who's just so bored. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. In some ways, the Einu De'Elishael is worse than the Rasha. Because if you're hostile, that means something is speaking to you. It bothers you. It bothers you, meaning, that's why, when Eli Wiesel says all the time about the Holocaust, he basically said, the opposite of love is not hate. Because in truth, we can often hate things that we love. We're mixed feelings. The opposite of love is indifference. The Einar Geolishael is indifference. You know the old joke about somebody was asked, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? So the person responded, I don't know and I don't care. No, that's exactly the answer. So what's interesting is this, though. What is interesting in this area, though, is that we can identify the four sons, or at least the three questions out of the four, but the answers that the Torah gives are not necessarily in proximity to the questions. Let's spend a little time on that. Okay, in Parshas Bo, which is in Shmos, Pasuk Ches is the Pasuk V'igadah to Levincha. Now, V'igadah to Levincha is specifically identified as the response to the Einei Yodea. This is going to be a long answer to your question. I'm going to answer your question. This is specifically identified as an answer to the Einei Yodea Lishol. And the reason Chazal say that is because this is not prefaced with when your child asks you. But Chazal also use it as the answer to the Rasha. And they actually darshan that. Because the Rasha says, why are you doing it? And he's excluding himself. So we say back to him, because of what God did for me when he took me out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. As if to say, if you would have been there, you wouldn't have been deserved to be redeemed. Now, the fact that that also applies to the Einar Geolishael actually fits very well. Because the Einar Geolishael is also a species of Rasha. You see, because it's the rishus of not caring enough. Right, mm-hmm. So he specifically gets that negative answer because of what God did for you, for me, and not for you. If you would have been there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. It's what we call tough love. But the problem that we have interpretively is this: how can I call this the answer to the Rasha if this is not the place where the Rasha asks this question? And where the Rasha asks this question, there's another answer that's given in the Chumash. So where does the Rasha ask the question? Ki yomer aleichem b'neichem, it's later here. One second, let me just see over here. Forget for a second here.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah.
Yeah. What pasuk is
it?
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. Pasuk Yitzayin. Yeah, that's right. No. That's not okay. Pasuk Yud. No, not Yud. You mean Yudalid? You mean? Yudalit? Yeah, Yudalit. Now, Yudalit is the simple son. Yudalit says, when your son asks you, Mazos! Mazos is the simple son. What's going on? Give me a basic story. So the answer to the basic story is, Amarta a love, you shall tell them, Bechozek Yad, with a mighty hand, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So that one is good. This is identified in the Haggadah as the Tam. And the reason why it's the Tam, because if the Tam is the one who serves Hashem with simple emotion, he just wants to know, what are we celebrating? And you just give him a simple answer. So again, V'higadah to Levincha is both the initiation to the Einar Yodea Lishael, and it is the answer to the Rasha, although the Rasha's question is not here, and I'll talk about that. So we have two of the sons in that pasuk, and V'chozek Yad is the Tam. So where is the Rasha? The Rasha, and we have to find the Rasha, I'm sorry. So we have to find, what do we need to find? We need to find the Rasha's question, and we need to find the Chacham's question and answer. Okay, so one should be, do we have Agada here? Does anyone have Agada?
I'm sure there's some in the English library.
No. There's an Agada just here. Is there a Agada in the center? Even the Ashkel, an Ashkel Siddur has a guy. Doesn't Ashkel Siddur have a guy? Maybe no, only the empty ones. Okay. Pius Chana. Yes. Okay, now I have the, we have the question of the Chacham. So far, so good. The Chacham, yeah, okay. We'll try to find out. The Chacham is on page 976. This is in Chumash Devarim, Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf. Now remember, the Torah does not label it. Chazal look at the wording of the Pasuk and they figure out which type of person we're talking about. Page 976. Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar. When your son asks you the next day, or in the future rather, saying, now this is the same beginning as the Tam, ki yishalcha bincha machar, same beginning. But the difference is, the kid in Shemos asked, Mazos, what's going on? The kid here asks, Ma ha'edos ha'chukim v'mishpatim, what are the laws and the statutes? In other words, he has a sense of different types of principles, different types of laws. Now, here, the answer that's given is, we were slaves to Paro, and he took us out of Mitzrayim. Now, once again, let me explain something. That's not the answer the Haggadah gives. It's interesting. The Haggadah gives this pasuk as the question of the Chacham, but the answer it gives you is not in the Chumash. It's that you should explain to him all the laws of Pesach, all the way to the last law that you can't eat anything after the Afikoman, meaning that means all the laws of Pesach. So, the only one that really fits is the Tam. The Tam, we are given both the question of the Torah and the answer of the Torah. With the Chacham, we identify the Pasuk that is the question of the Chacham, but we do not use the answer in the Chumash. We use our own answer, a made-up answer, that's right. So why doesn't it use the answer of the Chumash? Now we do say, actually we do say these words of Avraham Avinu, but we don't say them as an answer to the Chacham. So the Mefarshim all explain that it's implicit in the question of a Chacham that you have to give him all the information he needs, but the Torah says you must give it in a framework that emphasizes emunah, that Hashem, in other words, you have to preface, not just by giving him dry halachas, by putting those halachas in the framework of Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. Okay. Now, the final one, though, I want to find is the Rasha, because the Rasha is very peculiar, because the Rasha will have a question, and the Torah gives you an answer. We don't use that answer, but we use the same answer we use for the Eino Yodea Lisho. So the question is, I always forget where the Rasha's Pasuk is. The Rasha's Pasuk is it also in Shemos? 1 second. That might be in Shemos, too. Moah Avodah HaKadosh Lachem.
I can just render the reflector your computer. That's it.
Yeah, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I think this is an important little thing, though, just in terms of Pashat Pshat in the Haggadah, to see that on one hand, Chazal identify four places, but then the answers are not always used. So, okay, the Chacham's verse, as we looked at, is Devarim Perek Zion Pasuk Beis. Now, how do Chazal know it's the Chacham? So there are two reasons Chazal identify it as the Chacham. One is because the nature of his question indicates a sophistication in discrimination. Unlike the question that says, Mazos, what's going on? Here he's someone who talks about testimonies, which means some commandments are designed to commemorate historical events. Chukim, some commandments are laws like Paraduma that we don't understand the reason. And Mishpatim are mitzvahs that are logical. So the Chazal were struck by the fact that in Bo, we have a kid asking the question, Mazos, and in Devarim, we have someone talking about Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. So the difference in sophistication, both are righteous people, but one is a Tam, and we define that as someone who primarily is motivated by faith. And then we have the Chacham, right? So that's one indicator. The other indicator is that he includes himself in Hashem's command. He says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, our God, commanded. Right, so that shows his Yirat Shemayim. So that's fine. And the only question on that is, the answer the Haggadah gives you is not the answer the Chumash gives you for the Chacham. In the Haggadah, the answer is, he wants Torah knowledge? Give him all the laws of Pesach, including the final law, that you don't eat anything after the Afikoman. That's like the last halacha. People ask the question, why is this halacha picked out? But the simple answer is, this is not picked out as a unique halacha. This is picked out as the last halacha of the Seder. In other words, some of fortune try to make a whole big deal that what is so special about this halacha. But the simple pshat is, there's nothing special about this halacha. The concept is, you give him a complete answer. Now, the question I asked on the Chacham is, but the Torah gives a different answer to the Chacham. It says, Avadim, the famous, Avadim, Hayinu, L'Parva, Mitzrayim. So the answer to that would be that the Torah gives you the introductory framework by which you give this answer. This is the answer, but the Torah spells out that when you convey halachos to somebody, you don't just give them information, but you do so in a framework of emunah in Hashem. Okay. Now, the next one is the Rashi. Oh, it is. I don't know. My eye skipped it. Yeah, the Rashi's pasuk is in the place we were looking. Shemos Yud Beis Chafav. How did I miss that? Okay. Page 356. Vahaya. Ki yaimru aleichem b'neichem, ma ha'avayta hazeis lachem. When your children will say to you, why are you doing this service? Now, the pasuk does not say this is a rasha. It's only Chazal who are medayek from the wording of the pasuk that it's a rasha. So what do Chazal see in this pasuk that suggests that it's a rasha? So number one, there are three different indicators. Indicator number one is that for the wise son and for the simple son, it says when your son asks you, ki yisholcha. Now the Einu De'alishol, there's no question at all. This is the only one of the sons where it doesn't say ki yisholcha. It says ki yomru, when he's telling you. In other words, this is not so much of a question as it is a statement. Yomru. That's one point. A second point is interesting. Ravaji Yosef points out that for the wise son in V'eschanan and for the simple son later on, it says, when your son will ask you tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, the Pshat means in the future. But it doesn't say tomorrow here. So Ravaji wants to suggest al Pidrush, a very nice chiluk. He says, the wise son and the simple son, are willing to do the commandments now, even if they don't understand. It's after they do it, they ask, could you explain it? The Rasha says, I'm not moving till this makes sense. That's why there's no machar. He doesn't ask later. He demands an explanation now. And the final indicator is the one the Haggadah itself says, by saying, why do you do this service? He's implying, you do it, not me. And that's why the Haggadah says he excludes himself. Right, so there's actually three textual indications in this verse that this is a reference to the bad son. And bad, by bad, we mean hostile. By the way, Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say an important thought. He said that, what are these four sons? There's the wise son, there's the hostile son, there's the simple son, and the apathetic son, right? That's how we understand the end of the Elishal. But he says there's actually a fifth son. The fifth son is the kid who doesn't show up. Even the Rasha gets a little bit of a credit here, because he's there, even if he's there just to challenge and be uncooperative. The fact that he's there is a certain mila. And even the apathetic, same with the apathetic guy. You're apathetic, but you're there. You know, if you really were totally disconnected, you know, you'd be doing something else. So
is there a stira? The apathetic son is there? I mean, did his parents, like, chain him to the table?
Well, maybe so.
Did they say, we're going to take away your guitar?
Take away your iPhone or whatever it would be.
No, but apathetic, yeah. He finds it. He is against
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, maybe he's so apathetic he doesn't have the energy to go to the
leave. You have no clue what I'm doing. I'm going to show you how to
he's
do
just,
it.
Right, he's just there. He's too apathetic.
Maybe he's like newly apathetic, yeah. So he's still in the house.
Or there are levels. In other words, when you say apathetic, you know, a person might have a mild curiosity, something, a little spark there. But, all right, so we've identified three indicators that this is the Rasha. Okay, but here is the question that is a really good question. So now that we've identified that this is the question of the Rasha, what pasuk is used as the answer to the Rasha? That's the same pasuk that was used for the Eina Yodea Lishol, which is much later, and this is in Perek Yud Gimel. Pasuk Ches. You shall tell your son, saying, on that day, because of this that God did for me when I was taken out of Egypt. So he gets Mida Keneged Mida. You're asking, why do I do it and not you? Because of what Hashem did for me and not you, if you would have been there, right? Now that makes perfect sense. But note, the Rasha's question is all the way back in Perek Yud Bey's Pasuk Chafav. But the answer to the Rasha is not until Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Ches, and yet the Haggadah ignores the answer that the Torah gives. The Torah gives us an answer to the Rasha. The next verse, you shall say, this is a Korban Pesach, that God passed over the houses of our forefathers. So, if the Torah says this in proximity to the Rasha, then does it not seem that this is an answer to the Rasha? And the Haggadah doesn't use it. Right? So why does the Haggadah skip that? The answer is, you see, Chazal, as you know, were very subtle. Note that Pasuk Chaf Zayin does not say, you shall say to him, this is the Korban Pesach. It doesn't say lo, it says v'amarta. Meaning like this. Think about the scenario. You're sitting at a Pesach table. You have your family, you have your students, you have your children, you have your guests. You're trying to create an atmosphere of kedusha, of commitment. And then you get, maybe it's your own son, maybe it's a guest, maybe it's whoever it is, you get a hostile presence that at least at this moment is trying to undermine and destroy everything that you're trying to build up. Now you have to deal with him because he is your child. But your first responsibility is to make sure that the fire is contained and doesn't destroy the rest of the house. So the Amartem is not what you're saying to the Rasha. Essentially, you're putting the Rasha on hold for a few moments and you're addressing your remarks to everybody else. Remember how Hashem passed over our houses. So Chazal specifically did not regard this pasuk as the answer to the Rasha, because it doesn't say the Amarta Vamartam a love, or lo, as it says for the other ones. Chazal regards this as the damage control for the rest of the family, and as such, it doesn't really belong in the Haggadah, which is trying to give you the answer to the question. And therefore, Chazal used their logic and said, ah, so if we don't have an answer to the Rasha here, where is the answer? They find it in the same pasuk of the Ein Yodei Elisha, because there we have that diuk, because of what God did for me and not for you. If you would have been there, you would not have been redeemed. Okay, so B'kitzur, this is, I don't know if this is a thought that is automatically shareable, but it's an interesting point. When you delve into Haggadah a little bit of depth, you will see, again, the following anomalies. The question of the Chacham does not have the answer that's in the Torah. The question of the Rasha does not have the answer that's in the Torah, but it borrows from the Ein Yodei Elisha. It is only the Tam that has the direct question and answer in its right place. And then you also have the anomaly that the Ein Yodei Elisha, who is often portrayed as an innocent babe, is given that same harsh pasuk as the Rasha. But the way the Maral explains it, it's not so difficult, because the Ein Yodei Elisha is also a certain level of apathy, which is also something that's considered to be negative.
Which is the verse that you answer to everyone else at your table?
The one that follows the Rasha right away. In other words, the Rasha's verse, this is on page 356, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Now, this is not even recorded in that God. It says, when your son says to you, what's the use of this? You shall say, it doesn't say you shall say to him. You shall say to everybody else. This is the Korban Pesach that Hashem passed over the homes of the Jewish people and saved our firstborn. Okay? That's the one pasuk that's not used in the Haggadah, because it's not an answer to any question. It is a damage control for everything else.
So why does it say Vamartem as opposed to Vamartem Lahem? Because Lahem sounds like you're talking
I could even use that as a very good idea, because, you know, the damage of an apikoris, or the damage of someone who tries to undermine, can be to the rabbi as well, to the teacher as well. That the Rebbe needs to fortify himself with Emunah. So maybe it can even mean, you say to yourself, tell yourself, don't let yourself be pulled down by that. People don't realize that, you know, negativity can affect the teacher, can affect the leader, can affect the rabbi, can affect the parent. It's not simply a question of, you know, it affects the students or the children. It can affect the adult as well. And therefore, perhaps you've added a nice aura. Perhaps you've got to speak to yourself to be sure that you don't get dragged down. And maybe that's appropriate before you start giving him muster, before you start being a little critical of him. Be sure that your faith is strong and you have not been affected. Now, some people question the harshness of the answer to the Rasha. Because of what Hashem did to me. In other words, you're telling your own son, you know, hey, you know, you're worthless. God would have let you die in Egypt. Like 4/5 of the Jews did die. Is that like the right way to talk to your child? You know, we talk about. But the answer is, it is a form of tough love, because what you're telling your child is this. What you're telling your child is not that you would have died, but with your attitude, you would not have been worthy of redemption. But I just want you to know, you can change your attitude. You can look at things differently. You could be a different person. You're not condemning him by saying, this is the way it has to be. But you're just telling him, no, listen, you know, with that type of attitude, all of the blessings of being a Jew and having a Torah and being connected to Am Yisrael, they wouldn't have happened. You would have died as 4/5 of the Jews died. And the hope would be that this maybe would shock him into realizing, you know, yeah. Yeah, I do have to think about things a little differently, right? So tough love is not a bad thing, you know. Although self-esteem is important, it's very important for a person to feel good about himself, and that's true. But in America, at least, we've gone a little overboard with self-esteem. Mm-hmm. In California, I believe that the high schools replaced two math periods with, like, a whole course in self-esteem. Like, it was a course that kind of says, maybe this was in the 80s, maybe they don't do it anymore, but I remember this years ago. 45-minute class period where you have to give 5 reasons why you're a wonderful person, because we want to build up self-esteem in people. And I remember in Newsweek, they did a cartoon in which a kid came to school, like a fifth grader came to school in mismatched socks and two left shoes, and they were 5 times bigger than his feet, and an inside out jacket. And the teacher said, "You look beautiful today." Now, the problem is, you see, that when self-esteem is not based on trying to live up to a standard, it really is just a foolish thing. And the truth is, children see through it as well, because children understand. Everybody gets a prize. You get a prize because you breathe today. Kids know that isn't worth anything. Now, it's one thing to give a person an award, give a person recognition because they tried hard, even if they didn't do well. But they tried, and they worked, and they put forth the efforts. That's a genuine thing. That deserves commendation. That deserves respect, because you worked and you really tried. But to stamasai, glorify people when they're not trying to do anything, and that's really a bad message. So essentially, what the Seder is saying to a child is that with the attitude of defiance, I'm not going to sit back and fake and say, "Oh, that's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, you can deny the Exodus, and I can believe in the Exodus, and I believe in the Torah, you don't believe in the Torah, we're all fine, we're all good." Sometimes, because we're not able to influence people, that has to be the attitude we take. In other words, we just keep quiet. Indeed. But if you're a parent and you're trying to help your child, you really have to try to have the child see things in the correct way. And that's not considered rejection. That's considered love. It's love because you care enough that you want him to be a good person. Okay, so it's not as bad as you might think. This idea of the tough love is not such a bad thing. It is something that can actually help a person become a better person. And that's the idea. That's what the Chumash says. Hashem brings tzaras on Am Yisrael like a parent disciplines a child. That's where the child's go. Okay, so that's a little ha'orah about the 4 banu. Now, one thing. Let's see what time we have here. Yeah, Rabban Gamliel said that anyone that does not explain 3 commandments of Pesach does not fulfill his mitzvah. In other words, that's the minimum. If you have to have 30-second Haggadah, let's say you can't say the whole thing, what do you have to say? Well, you have to say Kiddush, of course. Kiddush and benching are not really Haggadah. You understand? Not everything in the Haggadah is Haggadah. Kiddush and benching and even Hallel are not Haggadah. They are separate commandments that you have. Mm-hmm. Haggadah is Magid. So you're supposed to say the whole Magid, if you can say the whole Magid. But if you had to choose the one paragraph of the, or the 3 paragraphs of the Magid that you absolutely, positively must say, is the paragraph of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel used to say, anybody who did not explain the 3 commandments of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror has not fulfilled his obligation. So I just want to explain it very, very, very quickly. And actually, I'll probably talk in Or Sameach. We're having a symposium or a Yom Iyun on Pesach, so you might hear this at more length. I'll just throw it out very, very quickly. Now, that is, the Baal HaTanya says a beautiful thought. The Baal HaTanya writes that the word Mitzrayim does not only mean Egypt, but Mitzrayim means constriction, anything that blocks you and limits you. And therefore, Yitzias Mitzrayim is not only being liberated from Egypt, but it actually refers to an inner Mitzrayim that I have. It could be my arrogance, it could be my ego, my anger, my selfishness. All of this is a Mitzrayim that Hashem liberates me from through the Koach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, in the Haggadah, there's kind of a double conversation going on. You're talking about the Exodus of Egypt, to be sure, and you're also talking about my private Mitzrayim, or at least you're thinking about your private Mitzrayim. So seen in this way, Rabban Gamliel's 3 mitzvahs can be symbolic a little bit of how we liberate ourselves from our own private Mitzrayim. He says, Maror. Maror is bitterness. Remember what it's like to be a slave. what that is teaching me is that the first step you need to take to be free is that you admit you're a slave. In other words, if you deny that you have things in your life that you need to correct, then you're living in a fool's paradise, and you can never be free because you haven't even admitted you're a slave. So morar is having the courage and the honesty to admit what I need to change in my life in a positive way. That's morar. Now matzah says, once you've identified your slavery, believe you can do something to change it. Because what is the chiluk between matzah and chametz? There are many chilukim. But the Maral says, one chiluk is that chametz happens by inertia. When flour hits water and you do nothing at all, chametz. Matzah is action. You have to do something to make it matzah. Now, if all you had was the morar symbol, you would be like a person who goes to psychoanalysis. You know, 50 years, you've gone through every problem in your life, but you're doing nothing to change it. Matzah reminds me of the capacity of change, even if it's small. You know, Weinbach Zatzal had a very, very witty and profound remark. He used to say, and be sure you get this, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Now, you know, the saying, it really shocks a person. You know, there's a famous old aphorism, anything worth doing is worth doing well. I'm sure your parents have told you that or whatever it is. But Weinbach switched it. Anything worth doing is doing badly. What does he mean by that? Sometimes we get paralyzed. We think if we can't do something perfect, we don't bother to do it at all. In Ruchnius, it's not that way. Every little thing is worth it. Right? And that's how you learn. Hashem is not going to be Tovea us if we were not perfect in the way we did things. But he will be Tovea us if we didn't try. So matzah is make the effort. So maror is awareness of slavery. Matzah is the capacity of action. And then we come to Pesach. So what's the din of Pesach? Again, so the Rambam says an interesting halacha by Korban Pesach. That by a Korban Pesach, you even if you have a big appetite and you have a little lamb and you could finish the whole thing by yourself, you must join with a group, either your family or another group. Pesach cannot be brought alone. So what does Pesach remind me of? The need of a community of chaverim that give chizik to each other. So, Pesach, community, is chabrus. Moror, to honestly confront your slavery. Matzah, do something about it. Now, one final question that I'll leave you, and that is, if moror is to recognize my slavery and matzah is to do something about my slavery, should it not be the case that first you eat moror and then you eat matzah? Because moror is identifying my issue and matzah is doing something about my issue. Why do I say the other way around, that I first eat matzah and then moror? The answer is that psychologically you cannot begin to dwell on your failures and your problems. Because if you begin with the moror, you're likely to be depressed and despondent and give up hope. The first thing you need to integrate is you need to integrate a sense that you're capable of changing and you're capable of growing. Take the lesson of the matzah in. When you've taken that lesson in, you're then ready to look at the moror. Okay, that's kind of the way the Haggadah works. And then you eat matzah again, because, in other words, the first matzah is to inculcate the attitude. Then I look at what I need to change, and now I'm ready to change it. That's the apikoma. That's the matzah after the moror. Okay? So I hope this will help you a little bit. And anyway,